It is a real pleasure to be back here at the UU Church of Washington Crossing. I've preached here several times before over my years in ministry. It's always a pleasure to come back to this part of the world. Part of my job as the executive director of UU Faith Action New Jersey is to do just this, to visit folks like you, UU congregations, to inform them about the work that we do together and on your behalf, to thank you for your support over those years and now, and to encourage you to see that your own spiritual growth, your growth as deeper and wiser, more loving human beings, is actually intimately connected with our social justice ministry, the work that we do in the world. Now, as a minister, I often connect with congregations like this. I lead worship services. I give sermons. And in my 2 years on the job, I have discovered the terrible paradox that despite my message that spiritual deepening goes hand in hand with standing up for what is just and right, the sermon itself, as a thing that should sing as well as truth tell, doesn't always lend itself to that vast body of knowledge about faith action and our legislative and social justice agenda that I always want to shove into it. It's an uneasy, at times, combination. And I know this because I've tried doing it again and again and again. And finally, a good friend who has sat through many a UU sermon over the years said to me, "I think you should just come clean right at the beginning about your desire and need to do both things." So that's what I've done, and here's the deal. For those of you who like to get the scoop on our current public policy work, who want the skinny on our UU witness in New Jersey, with a few relevant facts and figures thrown in for context, you are about to get happy. And for those of you who may have come with a different set of expectations or needs, perhaps heavy-hearted, perhaps with many things on your mind, looking for a place of wisdom and of solace, then I promise that we will get to the song of this sermon as well. And perhaps those things aren't so different as we think. So first, the context. I would tell you that since about 2008, we have been in the business of amplifying at UU Faith Action, amplifying our collective voices. There's much that many of you do. It's daunting for me to stand up in a congregation of UUs and speak about social justice. Many of you have woven it to the very fabric of your lives. And our congregations have done the same for many years. But what we can do is amplify all those voices in a way that it's difficult for ministers to do over time, or even congregants or congregations, and be at the table, wherever that table is, and speak out in the way that the religious right has done so effectively over the years, but from the religious left, if you will. First, as the UU Legislative Ministry of New Jersey, and since last fall, as newly named UU Faith Action NJ, we mobilize folks to do things like email their state senators and assembly people so that legislation on everything from banning fracking in the Delaware Valley watershed to dismantling the new Jim Crow and that prison school pipeline that Michelle Alexander spoke so, written so eloquently about, and our current destructive, even demonic love affair with mass incarceration of black and brown people, and to joyful things like equal marriage rights for gays and lesbians in the state, of which we had a leading voice. We changed the name, by the way, because two things became increasingly clear over those years. First, that we've always been called, and of course have always done, things besides legislative ministry. Some people mistakenly heard that in our name, and I thought, well, this is a policy wonk thing. This is for people who are the social justice people or on that committee, you know, and I'm instead doing buildings and grounds, or, you know, I'm busy with other things. We wanted to also say that, of course, We organize buses to go down to the Women's March in Washington. And we rally, like we did on March 24th, so many of us all across the state and other states besides, with students, to say that Parkland and Las Vegas and Orlando and Newtown, while not entirely preventable, could be so much less of a tragedy and an ongoing problem in this country. The second reason we changed our name is that the acronym for UU Legislative Ministry of New Jersey was a killer. UU, LMNJ, and as I would like to say, OP, QRS, TUV. It took me a year to master that without hesitating, so I'm profoundly grateful for the ease of use of UU Faith Action. We've always been a heavily grassroots organization. You may not know, but it was in fact founded by lay members, came out of the Princeton congregation originally, and are organized by very committed lay people. I believe Lynn Quinto, she's gonna kill me for naming her out loud, but of this congregation, was there at the very beginning, perhaps others of you as well. We're pleased in most of our congregations to continue that heavy lay involvement with many volunteers, task force chairs, and liaisons. And right now I understand that our liaisons in this congregation are Nick Mellis, Lynn Quinto, and there's someone brand new. Is it Janet? Jamie Evanini. Welcome. It'll be great to see you. And their job is to help bridge, to get information out, put up posters and let folks know what's going on. And you in Washington Crossing have been extremely responsive. So I want to give a public thank you to those folks who have done that over the years. I also want to acknowledge that things at the UU Church of Washington Crossing are a little bit different, and that a sizable percentage of you, in fact, live in a different state, the great Keystone State of Pennsylvania. And I wanted to let you know our Universalist love is large enough here in New Jersey to include you in our work. And you are very welcome and encouraged to join us. And I also will say that there is a similar sister organization, UU Plan, UU Pennsylvania Legislative Action Network, and that they would be very grateful if you would like to get in touch with your Pennsylvania legislators. I suspect they have a system similar to ours. But we are completely excellent and we'll take Pennsylvania folks as well. So I wanted to tell you a few things about what we're doing today as well, right now. So for example, one of the things I do is I put on my blue suit and I go looking in as much as a graduated Mormon missionary as I can. I wear my stole and I speak publicly on our behalf. We claim a place at the table, and that is critical in these hearings, for example, on six gun prevention pieces of legislation that are in front of a Senate committee tomorrow. I will stand and say, on behalf of all of our member congregations and on behalf of this religious movement with 210 years of social justice advocacy in the United States, we stand for this strong strengthening of gun violence prevention laws and sensible gun control in this country and in New Jersey. And that's very powerful to have people looking like this, with these, making that claim, and also involving as many of you, and some of you actually live near Trenton, so you might be able to, when you get one of our action alerts, you might be able to join in that. Sometimes we are called to change the way things have always been done, the way that we are working on a curriculum right now, a toolkit that's interfaith, that will hopefully be trained up as a pilot project in the next month or so to help against biased policing. And in fact, I met with Reverend Kim and the Hopewell Township police lieutenant or police chief to talk about the concerns that we have about the way that police interactions with people in communities of color have for generations been so violent, and that that absolutely must stop, and that we stand to do whatever we can to change that culture that's so deeply, sadly rooted in the system. And sometimes we're called to stand as a kind of bulwark against the countervailing winds out of Washington, D.C., or wherever they come, that threaten to blow away things that we believe in, like a culture of strong gun laws in New Jersey, or like a general tolerance of, if not always outright acceptance for immigrants, whatever their skin color, or language, or even whether they've brought exactly the necessary documentation, we want to see a smarter and more compassionate, more humane approach to our borders and who gets to be called in and who gets called out. On that topic, you can be very proud that this congregation, the UU Church of Washington Crossing, will be among the 8 other congregations next Saturday at our annual general meeting in East Brunswick, to which you are all invited, with a keynote speaker, Sam Daly Harris, who is a national inspirational speaker, activist, and educator on claiming hope and faith and personal autonomy in the face of so much that seems to be going wrong. I hope you'll join us. There's more information on that at a table downstairs in the Crossings room. But we're going to present frameable posters similar to the Welcoming Congregation poster I believe I saw here. Many of our congregations put up that proclaim an open welcome for GLBT people in this religious tradition that we have done now for decades. And we want to say the same thing, and it says, this congregation stands with and affirms our, as a sanctuary, supporting sanctuary congregation, our immigrant and undocumented neighbors, members, and friends. And that is a statement, not that we have all the answers for a very complex debate at times, but that we know that what's happening now is not what we think America stands for. It's certainly not what Unitarian Universalism, or frankly, any religious tradition with an ounce of tolerance and humanity at its core should stand for. And again, that's not to say that everyone in this congregation is going to agree on all aspects of immigration law or reform, the same way not everyone agreed back then on GLBT equal marriage rights, even though now it seems like such a done deal among UUs. But what we do agree and believe as congregations is that the way forward is never to tear people out of the fabric of our communities, never to take loved ones apart from the only country they have ever known, their families, their communities where they've built lives and jobs and are so deeply embedded in our national story. The hypocrisy, not to mention the intense trauma of this current round of detentions and deportations, is clear. And I wonder how many of our ancestors, those of us who don't have ancestors brought over as slaves, that is, how many of our ancestors arrived with all of their papers in order, and yet suddenly we have every right to live in this land. When we scrape just below the surface of the quote-unquote current debate on immigration going on right now in America, the stink of scapegoating and racism should make us sick to our stomachs. This is not just a practical tactic. This has deeper roots. And as ethical, moral, religious people, our call is always to name what is true, even if it makes us sick. We must find another way. I go in often with lay volunteers around the state and say that as people of faith, we stand with others who are often on the margins, but should be centered. A primary way you can get involved is by getting our action alerts. I'm just curious, how many of you are signed up right now and get emails from UU Faith Action that say, legislation's coming up, please. I want to just quickly mention what that is. For those of you who have very busy lives, which is probably everyone, even UU retirees seem to be running at 110 miles an hour, we have a very simple system, and it works like this. You sign up, we enter your name in our database, we have a special nonprofit database, we don't sell it, we don't do anything yucky like that, and you will get, once a week, let's say, you'll get an email that says, from whether you plan or UU Faith Action, that says, there is a special bill coming up to end solitary confinement, and it's going in front of the assembly. And it makes a difference if assembly people or senators hear from their constituents. You may think this sounds incredibly old-fashioned and that in the age of Russians hacking elections, how can this make any difference? And what I hear over and over again directly from staff is, Well, we tabulate those. And every day, at the end of the day, we let the senator or legislator know what the kind of current prevailing opinion in the district is, in the constituency. And they will also say to me, you know, I've never actually heard of Unitarian Universalism, but you folks send a lot of emails. And it makes a difference. So even if you can send one email a month, one email every 6 months, when you finally think of it and you go to that section of Gmail that you forget about all the time, I would ask that you try, that this become a religious commitment of yours if you're not already doing it. And try even if you know you're going to fail sometimes. But this is part of our pilgrimage path together, and has been for 210 years, that we don't see a divide, right, between the work of inner growth and the work of building a beloved community, step by torturous step sometimes. So I hope you'll join us with that. Now, as I said in the beginning, this remains a sermon. And a good sermon is never just a collection of facts and figures or a lecture about what we do. A good sermon is fundamentally about a good word, something that helps to ground us, that reaffirms our deepest sense of who we might yet be, and also reminds us of our sense of agency, sometimes just because of life circumstances, but sometimes because of national news. We just feel so powerless in our lives, and a good word, no matter what the religious tradition, reminds us that we have agency in this lifetime, and we have a legacy to hand to the next generation. A deep reflection on any spiritual life worthy of that name always and forever comes back to this key principle, its compassion built and lived out in life. Without a lived compassion and hearts of deep and conscious kindness, a spiritual journey tends to fall into the category of just another hobby, something we do like knitting or running or enjoying a TV show once a week. And we religious liberals have always been very clear on this point, going back to the earliest Unitarians and Universalists and beyond that. In our Christian and Jewish roots, we have these examples of Jesus really living out, of course, a social gospel. We have the example of the Jewish prophets speaking truth to power, often to tremendous consequences. I don't know how many of you have ever read the Epistle of James, but I'm sure you've heard some of the very famous quotations. It's a collection of wisdom teaching sort of stuck in the back of the Christian scripture that stands in stark contrast to what ended up being the preeminent Protestant message of Paul: by faith alone are we saved. Our more liberal-minded theological forebears, who believed this earthly life held deep meaning and deep wisdom, that believed in ever hopeful, if flawed, human agency, who followed this guy named Jesus, I believe, for what he did, not for how he died. This, I would submit to you, is far more powerful than the most heartfelt or eloquent, but ultimately not very connected, Joel Osteen televangelism. From the book of James, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, my sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's that simple sentiment that in many ways moved us from our Calvinist roots of hell and damnation and faith as the only guiding light to something more earthly and embodied. The conviction that if this world indeed is shaped by human hands and wills, then by God we have an obligation to take our hands in our lifetime until they are gray and wrinkled and arthritic and keep doing this work, however we can. They were people like Reverend Theodore Parker, who famously, because of his outspoken ways on abolition of slavery, even in Boston, which we think of as this liberal bastion, you know, the irony, he kept a loaded pistol sometimes in his pulpit because he was so concerned of the death threats he'd received from white extremists who were so against his preaching that they threatened violence. Interestingly, he was shunned by his more conservative fellow Unitarian ministers of the time, who already felt like they had stepped so much out of the mainstream that they had to guard their reputation. Those names of those ministers have largely been lost and forgotten, but we still speak these words. Look at the facts of the world. You see a continual and progressive triumph of the right. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one, and my eye just reaches a little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by sight alone. I can divine it by conscience. And from what I see, it bends towards justice. Now, the news of the world has never really given a lot of inspiration to the continual and progressive triumph of the right. The 20th century gives some lie to that. But maybe Parker is asking us to look really far back past Watergate and Trump and American chattel slavery and the repression of the Native peoples, way back, and also way in the future, so that when we are looking and feeling like, oh my God, the line is flat if not curved down, that we think again, back to the writers of James, back to the lessons of the prophets and the Buddha and all the unknown prophets who have said, keep going, because though you see a line here, you have to look with your heart and your conscience. Such a fascinating choice of words, conscience. I can see by my conscience. For us, as UUs, we've seen that as the indwelling spirit, something inherent and worthy of dignity from the very beginning, obviously shaped and guided by our parents and our world, but something we were, a gift we were given at the very beginning that helps us when the line is flat, see far in either direction. Why else go to church if not to fine-tune that conscience? Friends, it is only a few months since in this state we have elected a new governor, a very portentous occasion given the strength of the executive office in New Jersey, a governor who's starting to say things that UUs have been saying for a long time. We have some real hope of making concrete steps to end solitary confinement, a form of torture in our jails, to end the school-to-prison pipeline, to work with police and law enforcement and the Attorney General's office to get it right, finally, to start getting it right. We are sponsoring our own piece of legislation to allow people who work or clients who go to women's reproductive health clinics across this state to be able to keep their address confidential, the same way that domestic abuse survivors can do, so that they don't have the same fear of being tracked back to their homes. We are doing that. We've written that law, and it's going through committees. So this morning, I give you justice, and I give you spirit, mercy, forgiveness, redemption. And together, I say, they combine to become something like a politics of justice. And by that, I don't mean either just the politics like the machinations of Washington or Trenton, as important as those are, and we will be deep in that. And nor do I mean the savior and a new governor or a senator or a coming time when a president will make it all right again, because that's not exactly how it happens either. It is about our everyday lived lives of advocacy and prophecy, but really of the deepest compassion for ourselves, but also for all those around us, and the least of these, which usually includes us in some category, doesn't it? The least of these, to be lifted up on angels' wings, and our own veiny, old, tired hands. I hope you will join with me, with us at UU Faith Action this year. I hope you'll sign our action alert, knowing that you're terrible at emails and you get too many already. Do it anyway. And go to a rally, go to something, do what you're already doing. Sometimes take a rest, but we will call you back, because resting is good, but we are also the makers of justice. We are the meaning makers. Our compassion, our kindness musculature is always tested, often tired, but we do so much more, and we run this race so much longer, and we can collapse in each other's arms at the end until the next race begins. And when connected like this, we stand a real chance of bending that arc just a little bit more, the way